In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. I was listening to and watching this film called The Ancient Faith. Perhaps you've seen it. It's about a 20-minute introduction to what Eastern Orthodoxy is, what is the Orthodox Church. And at one point, the narrator, he's talking about history, and he's making this transition or showing the connection to the Old Testament and what Christianity is and how it grew out of that. And he said, "It was out with the old, an eye for an eye, and in with a new, more difficult way of life." That part struck me because I often think of the Christian faith, and we might think that way too, as being new, better, fulfilled, but not necessarily the harder way. If something is new and it's better, we don't always think of it as being more difficult. And he said it's more difficult because now it's turn the other cheek and it's love your neighbor. So is Christianity the more difficult way for us? Think about that question in light of the sermon, or the gospel that we heard today. Sorry. We heard one very similar to this about two Sundays ago where somebody approaches Jesus and asks the question, "What does it take, or what must I do, or what is required?" Now remember, the man in today's gospel, he listed some things that he has always done. Jesus asked him, he said, "You know the commandments, what do they say?" Because that's basically how you achieve everlasting life, or how you are saved, by keeping the commandments of God. So what do the commandments say? Do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not murder, do not covet. And he named a handful of them. And the man said, "Yeah, I've done all those. You know, I've been doing that ever since I was a child." So under the old covenant, and this man's perception, you know, it was something like that you could check off of a list. You have these commandments, and God says, "Do this, don't do that," and you stay within the guidelines, and you want to be okay. So he was looking to Jesus for an affirmation of, you know, did I check everything off of my list? So when he said, "I've been doing this," Jesus said, "There's one thing you're still lacking." This is a rich man too. He had lots of possessions. Jesus says, "Go and sell all of your possessions, give them away to the poor, if you would be perfect." That word perfect. Remember that. If you would be perfect. Christianity is hard, and it's more difficult because it requires from us perfection. And that doesn't mean checking things off of a list. It does not. Jesus corrected that, and he went to great lengths to correct that. If you want to read some scripture, and if you wanted to get something that was condensed and concise and a good summary of the Christian teaching, particularly in light of the Old Testament, read chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew. Matthew is the new Torah, or the new law, in the Christian understanding. In fact, interestingly, it's even divided up into 5 sections, just like the Torah for the Jews was 5 books, the 5 first books of the Bible. Matthew is divided exactly the same way in 5 sections. And when Jesus goes and he speaks on the mountain, that's chapters 5 through 7, he's like Moses going and delivering the law to the people. Jesus is delivering the new law, the new teaching that is more difficult and requires us to be perfect. And in those sections, Jesus corrects a lot of the people's thinking about what's required of me. You know, do not commit adultery. And there's so many examples. Go read it for yourself. But Jesus says, you know that that's a sin, right? But if you look at a woman lustfully and you desire her in your heart, that's where all your desire is, you are guilty of the sin. So he showed us that God judges our intentions and our hearts, not simply the actions and the outward. Christianity requires for us a perfection. And he even says that in the Sermon on the Mount. If you would be like your heavenly Father, you must be perfect. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And he tells them, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will in no way enter heaven. Jesus said that. Can you imagine? You want to know what it takes to get into heaven? You have to be more righteous than the scribes and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law and the ones who recorded it. You have to be more righteous than them. You have to be perfect even. And in today's gospel, you heard Jesus told the man who had possessions, if you would be perfect. So what is this perfection? Maybe we don't know what it is. And maybe the people hearing Jesus didn't know either, because I'll tell you, their minds were blown. They didn't know what to make of the teaching. They didn't understand it all the time. And in fact, today, we heard Jesus made that expression. He used that colorful analogy or example of it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, whatever that's supposed to mean. It sounds like it's very difficult, near impossible. Can you picture a camel and the eye of a needle, right? It's easier for that to happen than for somebody who has possessions to enter heaven. And his disciples said, Lord, what does that mean? Who gets in then? Right? Wouldn't you wonder the same thing? Who's going to get in if it's that hard? And this is where Jesus says, what is impossible with men is possible with God. So there's your answer. The Christian life is not only difficult, it's impossible in a human sense. In a fallen human sense, it doesn't happen and it can't happen. What does it take? It takes us, we heard 2 weeks ago, to love God with your whole heart, your soul, and your strength, and your neighbor as yourself, not even see a distinction between you and the other person. So if you had goods and your neighbor was in need, you wouldn't even think twice, my goods or your goods. It takes loving God and your neighbor with all of the love that God has shown us in sending his son Jesus to be crucified for our sins, and all the love that Jesus shows us when he goes to the cross willingly. It takes that love. Impossible, right? Only possible with God. Impossible for men, possible because nothing is impossible with God. And there are two other places in the New Testament where that expression or some variation of it appears, and it's highly significant maybe for our understanding. The first one, the two I'm going to mention are both in the Gospel of Luke. The first one you see depicted behind the icon screen across the wall there, right? The Annunciation. When Angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, the Lord favors you, Mary. You're going to have a child. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. She tells him about baby Jesus and what God has planned for her. Mary can't believe it. She doesn't know how it's going to happen. And the angel tells her, nothing is impossible with God. It's humanly impossible to conceive of a child without a human seed, right? Never happens. With God, nothing is impossible. That's the first time. So the very incarnation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God in human flesh coming into the world, that's what we're celebrating right now as we prepare for Nativity, his coming into the world. That wonderful act of salvation, that mysterious, glorious, unfathomable thing is possible only with God. Without him, it's impossible. The second one is also in the Gospel of Luke, and it's related to Jesus' life after he's born. Of course, he's born to go through his passion. And remember when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, and the sweat is coming off of his face like great drops of blood. He prays and he asks his Father. He says, Father, and he calls him Abba, which is an intimate Aramaic term. Shows that relationship, son to father. He calls him dad, basically. And he says, nothing is impossible with you. However, if it is your will, and if it is possible, let this cup pass. Jesus didn't want to have to go to the cross, because who wants to suffer? Who wants to take on all the sin of the world? Who wants to be treated miserably and brutally and suffer such a horrible death and take it on? So Jesus prayed that the cup would pass, right? And he stated that all things are possible with God. However, he qualified that prayer and he said, not as I will, but as you will. So he submitted all of his will to God the Father, recognizing that everything is possible with God. So that's the second time. Jesus' passion, his willingness to go to the cross. The third time we heard in the gospel today, how hard is it for somebody who has riches in the world to enter heaven? It's impossible in a human sense. But with God, nothing is impossible. And that's the lesson we want to leave you with today, beloved in Christ. Don't ever forget that you can't do it alone. That the Christian life is not a possibility if you strive in human terms. If you're looking at a checklist and you want to say, I did this, I paid my dues, I didn't do this, whatever, you want to fill out your card, that's not going to get you heaven. That's not going to save you. That's not going to unite you to God through Jesus Christ. The only thing that's going to do that is to be perfect. And how are we perfect? That's the big question, really. How are we perfect? Doesn't mean we never make mistakes. It doesn't mean we did it right. It means we trusted in God and we loved Him above all. And we love our neighbor. No exceptions, no conditions, no restrictions, and no end to it. You might say we love God by loving our neighbor, because that's the commandment, isn't it? That's what God teaches us. That's what He commands us to do. When we do that, we are approaching what... See, there's. I mentioned Matthew 5 through 7. Go and read Luke chapter 6, too. It's the same teaching in a slightly different order, and it's even more condensed. It's called the Sermon on the Mount in those three chapters of Matthew, because Jesus is the new Moses. He goes to the mountain. In Luke, it's on a level plane. And that's to show that this gospel is universal. It's not given to the disciples to give to the Jews, then to spread. This is given directly to the entire universe. It's on a level plane. But in Luke, the very same text where Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. The word is not perfect, it's merciful. So Luke gives us the exact same teaching. And he tells them, be therefore merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. So for us, if we want to use both of those texts and learn from them, mercy, characteristic of God, a property of God, he's called that more often in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, than any other word, is what we want to be. We want to show it. We want to be it. We want to act like God. And it's just kind of what I said earlier, love God and love your neighbor with the very same love that God shows us when he sends Jesus into the world to be crucified. So, beloved in Christ, you have that. You have God with you. You don't have God not with you. If you did, perfection, heaven would be an impossibility. But you are with God, and we're celebrating that as we approach his nativity. That's Emmanuel, that's God with us. So use it. Live it. Believe it. Don't think you could do it on your own. Know that God is with you and give everything to him. Don't bear your sins all by yourself. We all make mistakes and we fail and we have difficulty and struggles. Don't bear them by yourself. Bring them to God. That's why he came into the world. Be a part of him through the sacramental life. Confession, you bring your sins to him. Receive his body and his blood in the Holy Eucharist. He is with you. Because apart from you, You and I, we can't do anything. It's all impossibility, and it's things we can't even comprehend. But nothing will be impossible with God, as it tells us three times in the New Testament. Very key places, too. So Christianity might be the difficult way compared to the old way, I suppose. It might be struggle. It might be hardship. It might be persecution. It might be bearing a cross. But I'll tell you, it's a lot easier than not being able to do anything at all. It's better to have a possibility with God and the crosses than to have no possibility at all and be lost without God. So remember that today. God is with you, and with Him in your life and in our lives and in your prayer life, your sacramental life, and your interactions with others, nothing will be impossible. Not even heaven. If we're mired in love of possessions or sins or whatever the world traps us into, nothing is impossible without God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.